praise, for he's worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. Thank God for whom all blessings flow. Let me just say, it's good to be home. It's good to be home. They were singing that song, Let It Rise. Before I begin to preach, I want you to think about something that's in your spirit that's been dormant, that God's been desiring to let it rise. He's been speaking to your heart. He's been tugging at your mind. He's been trying to make your feet go where he says go. Today is the day that God wants you to rise. 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 Before the Lord today, will you rise? Rise to his calling. Rise to his leading. Rise to the ministering in the spirit that God has been giving you. God has so tailored this moment in our lives that the scripture we're going to teach from comes from Acts chapter 19. And in the word of God, beginning at verse 1, while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?" They answered, "No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." So Paul asked them, "Then what baptism did you receive?" "John's baptism," they replied. Paul said John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. There are about 12 of them in all. And as you think about the one thing that God is desiring in your spirit to rise, I want to talk about living in the spirit. Living in the spirit. Just this past week, I was taking some time to myself, something I don't often have time to do, and to think about the many things that God has been doing in my life, the blessings that he has bestowed upon me. And I began to think about the many people from whom God has delivered from all of their situations and circumstances. And this passage of scripture came to mind. Paul began to talk to these men about how they had received the baptism of repentance and had gotten stuck where they were. They had heard about Jesus and they were familiar with the teachings of Jesus and they understood the miracles and the signs and wonders that Jesus was doing, but yet they had not taken the next step to be baptized in the Spirit of God. Think about for a moment when you receive the Lord and just where you are in your place in salvation, and you have to ask yourself the question, have I taken the next step? Have I taken the next step in my faith in order to allow God to really indwell me, in order to fill me that I can be used in the kingdom of God? The text is so tailored to teach us that at each moving, at each step that we have with God, there's always something more that we can be doing in the kingdom. It's easy to get lazy in the kingdom of God. We've been there, done that, have seen it so many times, get tired of hearing the same scripture preached Sunday after Sunday at church after church, and we just don't feel like we need to be bothered with God and his word anymore. But in this passage of scripture, there's something that begins to happen as Paul begins to minister a little bit more in his third journey. He begins to explain and unwrap these words to us so that we can have a clear picture of what it means to have a life that is lived in the spirit. Paul, when he met these men, he knew that there was something lacking in their lives, that you can only go so far when you have so much Jesus. When you come to know him, when you're a new babe in Christ and you have this understanding that you're supposed to turn from your ways and you're not supposed to see your old friends and you're supposed to stop hanging out over here and doing this and doing that. And I don't have to name any of them because you know them all too well. And so it is in this wrestling with these small things when we come into the knowledge of who Jesus is that we think that that is all we have to do. All I have to do is stop doing this. I need to keep from going here anymore. I need to not say these things as much as I used to. But God desires more from us. He requires such a work to be worked in our lives that it's not something that you could do on your own. And I think we've heard it so many times that if we could save ourselves, we wouldn't need Jesus. We get to this place in our lives and in this journey with God where we begin to try to understand some of the experiences that we have in life. We don't often understand why God saved us, other than just to have a relationship with us. But the more you grow with God, the more you come to understand who he is, you get to this point where you say, God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Every experience that I've had, every encounter that I've made, everything that goes on with me, God is doing it for a reason. Have you asked yourself what God is doing with you through the experiences that you had? It's not just to make you feel bad about yourself. It's not so that other people can say, oh, listen to her testimony. It's so good. It's none of those things. It's for the purpose of building you up from the inside out so that when you come up against the enemy, when you come up against that next thing that you don't understand, you have something to draw from that's in your spirit. It's not the knowledge that we possessed. It's not all the book reading that we can get from scriptures. It's about the deposit that God has made in each and every one of us at the point of salvation that allows us to be able, when we have our back against the wall, to come out fighting rather than cower down under the weight of it all. You see, as you've been growing and you've been walking and you've been moving with God, you begin to take on a different type of ownership with your body. You begin to come to a better understanding of who you are as a believer in Christ. See, Paul didn't want these men just to stop short of knowing about the repentance that John preached. Of course, we need to change from our wicked ways. Of course, we need to stop doing some things and get on the right path with God. But at the same time, he is encouraging them to take charge of their own lives. You see, too often as believers, we want other people to tell us what we ought to be doing now that we are saved. You see, God has already positioned you. He's already purposed you. He already has a plan for your life. You don't need anybody else to tell you what to do now that you are a believer in God. He said that before the foundations of the world, he had already predestined a life for us. He already knows what path is out there that we are supposed to choose. But it's not until you get quiet. It is not till you get inside of who you are. It is not until you quiet down and listen to that still, small voice that you're able to hear God speak. Too often we can't hear God speak because we've got all these other things going on in our brain. No sooner than we get a quiet moment, oh, I needed to do this. Oh, did you hear about that? Oh, let me see what I need to do next. We get so caught up in our own thoughts in our mind that we miss God speaking to us. God wants us to take charge of our lives. Take charge to the point where you don't want anybody else telling you what you ought to be doing. Because you are so confident in your walk with God. You are so clear on the journey that God is moving you on that all you need to do is keep listening to God. Because wherever God says go, that's where you're going to go. Whatever God says do, that's what you're going to be found doing. We're not going to find ourselves being cut off or being caught short doing the business of God because we're only focused on and listening to him. These are the reasons why Paul began to question them about what kind of baptism did you receive? Because repentance is good and it'll get your foot in the door. The question is, how long can you stand the heat once you get in? Because most of us know being a Christian is not some easy cakewalk life. And whoever promised you, those of you who are listening, that becoming a Christian was going to be easy, they done told you wrong. And I'm almost certain that every person sitting in this room can testify to the fact that the journey with God is going to be filled with trials. The journey with God is going to be filled with heartbreak. The journey with God is going to be filled with tribulations. The journey with God is going to make you feel as if you want to lose your mind. But thank God for the one who came to give us the power of the Holy Spirit that keeps us clothed in our right mind. There's the one that lets us know that no matter what else is going on, you got it all together because you're trusting and believing in the one who saves. God wants us to take charge of our lives. But even in this conversation that Paul is having with these men about the baptism that they received, not only does he want them to take charge of their lives, he wants them also to be able to expect some challenges. There are going to be some challenges on this journey. And the reason why I like this chapter 19 so much is because Paul's entire third journey exemplifies the type of challenges that are going to be faced in every believer's life. The further that you read along the passage, Paul went out and he had a good time preaching in the temple, and there were people who didn't believe. You think Paul was concerned about the people who didn't believe? Paul got up, he packed his things, he took the believers with him and went on his way to the next place. Our trouble is we spend too much time dealing with people who don't want to hear about God. You see, you have to get to that place that in expecting some of these challenges that are going to come along your way, there's some stuff you don't have time for anymore. When you grow up in God, when you get to that real place of spiritual maturity, you're able to walk away from your friends. You're able to walk away from that job. Sometimes you have to walk away from your family because as much as you love them, there's no good going to come from some of the conversations that you have. You need to get to that place in your journey with God where you expect the challenges, and in his word, you trust that God's going to walk you through each and every one of them. The passage continues in 19 with a very great story. And for me, it's the seven sons of Sceva and how these people were playing church. Y'all know people that play church. Stop playing. Y'all know a lot of people that play church. They get saved every Sunday. Every Sunday, the same person is walking down the aisle professing that they just love the Lord so much. So if you love God so much, why you pick up all that baggage when you walked away from the altar and take it with you? If you really trust and believe in God so much, why do you keep taking on those same burdens that you just left at the altar the Sunday before? If you love God so much, why does every time he keeps calling your name, he find you in the same place he left you last time? You have to get to your place in your journey with God where you have to check yourself. Because everybody can't keep checking you, getting you in right, because they also have their own Christian journey to live. At some point, we have to grow up. The seven sons of Sceva run across these Jewish priests who are playing God. They're playing church. And it's so funny, as I read this passage of scripture, a little verses down, it says, in verse 13, it says, some Jews who went out around driving out evil spirits tried to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who were demon possessed. They would say, in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches, I command you, come out. Seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, they were doing this. One day the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, Paul I know about, but who are you? Now, just think about it for a minute. You have some friends and you, oh, God is good. He is so awesome. Girl, let me tell you about what the Lord did for me. And they were like, I know your mama's testimony and I know your grandmama's testimony, but who you fooling? You see, God has a way of, when we play in church, people who really know God, they can see right through us. They know that our testimony isn't for real. They know that we're just playing around with God. And as believers, you have to be willing to expect some of those challenges. They're going to be people who challenge you in your faith. When you're out there playing church, for those who are in the room playing church, the scripture goes on to tell us that one of the demons jumped out on one of the priests and beat them so badly they left the room naked and bloody and just all out of sorts. And it got around that the word of God was so powerful and so amazing that nobody played church ever again. It said every book that they had that said that knew Jesus, that really didn't know Jesus, they burned them. Sometimes you have to do away with some familiar things in your life. Because those familiar things are going to be the things that continually keep you in trouble. Those are going to be the familiar things that keep you coming back to that place where you know you ought not to be. It's going to be the thing that keeps you from rising to the place where God has been speaking to you about. Every day in our journey with God, He's trying to get us to do more, to be better, to look at life in a whole different way so that we are able to move forward with the life that God has destined and planned for us. So many times we want to blame somebody else for what we don't have. Blame somebody else for what went wrong in our lives. Most of the time, all we have to do is turn around and take a good look in the mirror. We have to be able to hold ourselves accountable for some of the things that go wrong in our lives. It's not all somebody else's fault. But these are some of the challenges you're going to face. Not only did Paul talk to them about taking charge of their own lives and their own destiny, not only did he tell them to expect some of the challenges that they were going to face, but he also wanted them to be able to accept change. Change is one of the most difficult things that we as a people of God are able to embrace. Change requires that we get rid of our old way of thinking. Change requires that we put in a little bit more time than we would normally put in when we have to have that prayer time with God. Change is one of those things that demands our full and undivided attention. Change is not easy. Change was never meant to be easy, because if it was easy, it wouldn't be change. That means there has to be some type of an action on our parts as believers. Change can only begin when we allow ourselves to truly live in the Spirit of God. When we begin to say that every day that I get up in the morning, I want something about me to be different. But most of us can't say that, because we like things simple and plain and just the way they are. We're caught in a comfort zone. We get up in the morning, we do our same routine, we go to the same job, we get off in the afternoon, we come home, we do the same stuff, and we start all over again. The cycle just constantly repeats itself. But what if you could just wake up one morning and realize that my life today is going to be different? It's not that I want it to be different. It's not that I desire it to be different. It's not that I hope it's going to be different. My life is going to be different. But in order to make that difference happen, you have to ask yourself, what do I need to do today to make it happen? What small thing today can I do to change my life for tomorrow? Think about it for a moment. There's something in each and every one of us that we've been dying to do. We've got these dreams, we've got these plans, we've got these aspirations. And no sooner than we get to the place that we want to execute them, we have a reason why we can't do it. You know, it sounded good when I was thinking about it last night, but I don't know this morning. What happened between your big dream and putting the plan in action? What happened, not on God's part, because God says in Jeremiah, I know the plans that I have for you, not to hurt you, not to harm you, but plans to cause you to prosper. The thing is, what is it that is standing in your way that's keeping you from doing the thing that God desires of you? Paul, when he's talking to this man and he's on this missionary journey, he's making it ever so plain that living a life in the Spirit is all about God. We don't have to do too much other than just show up. Because if God already has the plans laid out for you, guess who's missing out? God isn't missing anything. He already knows the end result. Yes, there are going to be trials. Yes, there are going to be challenges. Of course, there are going to be naysayers. There are going to even be some people who are going to beat you up. That's just the way it is. We get beat up every day, emotionally, socially, financially, physically. There's always something that's beating up on us in this Christian life. But look at you today. Cool, calm, collected, trusting in the God that you know can bring all things to pass, not because you want them to come to pass. You're doing it because you know that He can make them come to pass. Do you not know that Jesus died for that very reason? There is nothing that you can go through that hadn't been done already. Every every trial, every tribulation, everything that you face. That was the reason why Jesus went down in the grave and then was able to get up. He took those trials with him. He took every single thing with him that you thought was an obstacle. I mean, think about it for a moment. It's already done. I don't know how much more I can make it plain. It's already done. The missing piece is you. You're the person that can make it happen. You're the person who God wants to bless. You're the individual that God has set aside for such a time as this. When you live your life in the Spirit, you are able to take control. You are able to take charge and say that this is my life. And I have a right to live the best life that God wants to give me. You are going to face some challenges. There's no denying that. Banks are going to deny you loans. Your house is not going to be built on time. Your car loan isn't going to be financed in the manner in which you think it ought to be financed. Your kids are not going to get in the school that you want them to go to. Your degree plan isn't going to be finished on time. Trust me, if it can happen, it's going to happen. But that's not the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. It is not the end of the world. It may be the end of a cycle in your life that God is trying to break. Because if God never put us through anything, how would we ever know what we are made of? How would we ever know that God could bring us through? How would we ever know that God is God? For many of us, we don't trust God until he does something. We don't take him at his word. We want God to show himself. But hadn't God already shown himself and made himself faithful already? Hadn't he done enough for you to trust him and believe in him? Hasn't he done enough to make you know that just because it's him, it's already what he said? That's just the way that God works. When you live a life in the Spirit, when you take the time to let the peace and power and presence of God fill you from the inside out, you are completely unstoppable. The word of God says that at the mentioning of the name of Jesus, that even demons would tremble, that every knee would bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. God has given you that power for every boss that has rejected you, for every application that didn't get approved, for every single thing, for every time your kids talk back to you, for every time you got a phone call you didn't like, for every doctor's appointment that made you feel less than who you are. God has done that already. He has empowered you this day. This day. He's empowered you this day to rise.
Amen. Living in the Spirit. We've been challenged this afternoon. And I'm going to ask you to accept that challenge that Reverend Hood has given to us on today. Our decision time team is going to stand in the aisle. And they can't walk for you, but they'll be more than happy to walk with you. And I hope you were listening to what she said, that once we began to live in the Spirit.